As we move into our sermon time for this morning, I'm looking at the clock and seeing that we're running out of time just a little bit. But would you still bow your heads and pray with me as we begin this morning? Father God, I just want to thank you for the privilege that it is to do this youth service. God, I just thank you for these students that you have empowered to be leading worship and to be running this service. God, I just thank you for them and the heart that you have given them. Father, as I dive into my sermon this morning, I just pray that you would guide my words and that they would be a blessing to those who are here who would listen. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. My sermon title for this morning is Don't Graduate. Now, I realize that that seems like a very odd sermon title for Youth Sunday as we are recognizing our graduates this morning. Don't graduate. The seniors are sitting over there thinking, yeah, sure, now you tell me. Don't graduate. You see, we live in a world that is focused on graduating. Success and achievement is measured by graduation. Not just from school, but from events such as and experiences and jobs. We graduate from the JV team to the varsity team, from Cub Scout to Eagle Scout, from sales associate to manager. Success in life is measured by a series of graduation events. We are often focused on the goal line, on the end result. We press on and move forward through events and through life to get to the completion of whatever task is before us. We live to graduate, to move on to the next thing. Graduates, you will be tempted to define life by the achievements or by completing certain events, like graduating from high school or graduating from college. But I'm here to tell you this morning that graduation events are not the standard by which we should define our lives. I want to share with all of you a fact about myself this morning, and that is that I'm a list person. You know what? Scratch that. It would probably be more accurate for me to say, hi, my name's Rodney, and I'm a list maker. The way I decide how my day goes is often directly related to the number of items on my list that have been checked off. When I do something that is not on my list, sometimes I will go back and put it on there just so I can check it off. I have a problem. But I've been that way for most of my life. My mom is a big-time list person as well, so I probably get it from her. I've made lists for myself all through my childhood and on into college. When I was in college, I was very focused on the end of the semester, and I would have a master list with every assignment for every class on it. I even had it color-coded. Every time I completed an assignment, I would cross it off my list as I worked my way toward the end of the semester and eventually toward graduation. It was a helpful tool, and I very rarely missed assignments because I had them all laid out on my list. The drawback was that I was so focused on the end that I failed to recognize the gift of each day. I was so focused on finishing college that I missed out on a lot of the joys of simply being in college. Our scripture passage for this morning is Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And as we move into our scripture passage, let's take a look at the disciples, especially Peter. They have graduated. They think that they have it together. They believe that there is nothing new under the sun for them to learn. They think that they have arrived. And in walks Jesus to show them just how wrong they are. That passage, once again, is Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake. But the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Peter, James, and John are fishermen. They've been fishing for years. It's their livelihood. They could repair nets in their sleep. You know, they probably had local fishermen contests back then. Some Friday afternoon, everyone would gather on the beach for a big fish fry, and then middle of the day, they'd call the fishermen to gather on the shore for a net repairing competition. And there would sit Peter and the others blindfolded and in position, ready for the event to begin. And then the pigeon would go off and they would start. They were fishermen. If there was one thing they knew, it was how to fish. And in walks Jesus. When I read this passage, I sometimes picture a funny scene here. We all know that Jesus had a sense of humor, and that he experienced a pure and loving enjoyment in being with humanity. I like to picture Jesus getting in that boat with Peter and beginning to talk to him. And then I see a sly grin kind of come across Jesus' face, and he begins to rock the boat back and forth, grinning at Peter from across the boat. Now maybe Peter meets Jesus' gaze and gives a half-hearted chuckle and says, "Okay, funny Jesus, you can stop now." And instead, Jesus leans a little farther to the right and to the left, really upsetting Peter's sense of comfort. "Okay, Jesus, really, that's enough. You're going to flip the boat." Jesus just smiles back and says, "Well, that's okay. I can walk on water." Now, obviously, this part of the story was left out of the gospel recordings, but I can still picture it in my mind. Have you ever been in Peter's spot, sitting comfortably, balanced, in your place that you know so well, and then Jesus comes in and begins to rock the boat back and forth? You know what I'm talking about. We all know ourselves. We are pros, experts on our own lives. We think that we have the world figured out. But this passage in Luke is where Jesus is first calling the disciples. Disciples. That word means to be a pupil, or a follower, or a student. Jesus is calling us to be students of him, to be lifelong learners as we follow him. Jesus did not call these men up because they had graduated from the Christian faith. It was not for their Christian knowledge or for their seminary or Bible college degrees or for the perfect way in which they lived out their faith. Rather, Jesus saw a willingness to learn, vulnerability, a teachable spirit, maybe a very challenging teachable spirit, but a teachable spirit nonetheless. Someone once said that arrogance and a teachable spirit are mutually exclusive. They're like oil and water. They push each other away. As Christians, we're in a relationship with a living God. There is a natural ebb and flow, a dance between God and God's children. There is a response. And as people in an intimate relationship with a living God, we are never finished learning. We can never graduate. We are always on a journey, and the journey is where true learning and living exists. As believers, we need to always be teachable. We are not experts in anything. We are students of everyone and everything that God puts into our lives. We never graduate. We are students sitting lifelong and one day eternity long at Jesus' feet. Now, there are two main ways that I want to apply this to our lives and to help us see how we cannot graduate. And one of the central ways that God uses to change us and to keep us from graduating is study. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." So study scripture, study books, study life experiences, both successes and failures. Be a student of nature. Be a student of people. God reveals truth to us in so many ways, and often we are missing it because we aren't open to his teachings in our everyday lives. Learn to be a student of life and allow God to be your master teacher. The second way for us to not graduate is to step out of comfort and to depend on God. When we become rooted in our routines, we run the risk of missing out on everything that God has in store for us. I have heard more than one parent, including my own growing up, complain that their teenager thinks he or she knows it all. Now I wonder if God would make that same complaint of his children. Do we think that we know it all? Do we refuse to have teachable spirits? With God, it's not about graduating. It's about learning. It's about always being teachable. Peter has graduated. He believes that he has the answers, but God has so much more to teach him. Peter knew the law. He thought that he had it all figured out. But God challenges what Peter thinks he understands. And it isn't like God springs something entirely new or out of character. Jesus had already told the disciples through the law that they were to share the gospel with all nations. But Peter and the others had not understood. They had not taken hold of that truth. We must not make our preferences God's precepts. Jesus wants to get into your boat and for you to be vulnerable with him. Jesus wants to be invited to come into every one of our boats and to teach us new things. But there needs to be an openness, vulnerability, a faith that believes that God will never harm you. He will never throw you into the deep end without making sure that you can stay afloat. Have you ever been around a small child when they are exposed to something new or have never seen before or something that they don't understand? There is an immediate curiosity. You can almost see the wheels in their head spinning. They want to know more. They have a hunger to learn. Are you still awed by God? Are you curious to know more about our Creator? If not, it cannot be because God has stopped being amazing. So if we do not stand in amazement at God, or do not hunger for more experiences with God, the problem can only be with us. So that is my challenge for you this morning. Whether or not you are graduating from high school, college, or any other program this year, whether your graduation was years ago or it's coming years in the future, I challenge you to never graduate when it comes to your walk with Christ. To never stop learning. To never stop being teachable and vulnerable. And to never give up on a relentless pursuit of our amazing God. Let's pray. Father God, I just want to thank you once again for this Youth Sunday that we could have, Lord. This chance for the kids to step up and to lead this service, God. Lord, I just pray that you would be with each and every one of us gathered here this morning. Father, I pray that you would help us to always strive after you, to never stop learning. God, I pray that you will come into our boats each and every day and teach us something new. Father, may we be open to your teachings. Lord, we love you. In your name we pray. Amen.